This show is sponsored by Midi Health. There are great things that come with age: wisdom, experience, and knowledge, just to name a few. But if you're a woman over 40, it can also bring some less desirable things like hot flashes, insomnia, brain fog, moodiness, and weight gain, all symptoms of menopause and perimenopause. Yes, hormonal transition is a fact of life, but that doesn't mean you have to accept its symptoms as just another part of aging. Midi clinicians are menopause experts, equipped to support you with safe, effective, FDA-approved medications, as well as supplements, lifestyle coaching, and preventative health guidance. You'll come out of the experience feeling heard and with a plan to start feeling better. Midi offers accessible care. All their services are covered by insurance, and they're conveniently accessible through telehealth visits and 24/7 messaging. You deserve to feel great. Book your virtual visit today at joinmidi.com. That's joinmidi.com.
For the first time, U.S. subscribers can stream MLB Network 24/7, including select out-of-market games.
Swing and a drive. It's deep. It's gone. Yes!
Stream minor league affiliates.
Home run number one.
Or draft pick number one.
Plus, get MLB Big Inning and live audio for all 30 teams.
Baseball can't get better than this.
Experience the game like never before with MLB Network and At-Bat, your all-in-one baseball destination. Only $6.99 per month. Visit MLB.com/At-Bat for details. Blackout and other restrictions apply. MLB trademarks used with permission.
We welcome you in, John Dickinson and Matt Steinmetz, our Warriors Weekly podcast for 95.7 The Game. And Steiny, this is our first episode where I'm actually looking at your ugly mug.
Yeah.
Good to see you.
I guess vice versa. What's going on, man?
Well, we should be clear. I mean, we actually do look at each other when we record. We just do it remotely, typically, but we're in studio because I'm filling in for Guru over the last couple of days here. So good to physically be doing this together here. I think as we just kind of get started, we're recording this the day of the Memphis game, so the morning of the Memphis game, and the Warriors have the Grizzlies coming up, and then the three match, as I've called it,
yeah,
at Phoenix on Christmas, couple of games against Denver and Utah. Klay Thompson return now kicked to 2022, and I thought Steve Kerr had something interesting that you pointed out. He mentioned on Damon and Ratto's show earlier this week that he thinks the Warriors are in a pacing period of their season. I don't know that I would have characterized it in that way specifically, but it definitely feels like almost the early dog days.
Yeah,
because Klay Thompson's return has been kicked back.
Yeah, I think that's fair. Yeah. I kind of wasn't crazy about pacing, too, because it had the smell of we don't chase wins, or we're not chasing wins. But and you pointed this out, too, which I think is fair. There's these kind of mileposts in a season. And I think the first milepost was, what's this team going to be like? So after 15 or 20 games, we realized this team's going to be pretty good. Then the next milepost was, all right, let's get Steph Curry this three-point record, and now they've done that. And now it feels like, okay, what's next? Well, Klay's next. But when's that going to be? Is it going to be mid-January? Well, if it's mid-January, that's still 3 weeks away. So they got to figure out a way to kind of bridge the gap between now and when they figure they're going to get a boost with Klay back. But the one thing I was thinking, JD, is when Kerr made those statements, I wonder if he knew that he was possibly going to be heading into the next six games without Wiggins, without Damian Lee, without Jordan Poole, and now it looks like without Andre Iguodala. So that may change things a little bit, and it really makes this stretch way more difficult for
yeah,
the Warriors.
It changes it,
I think.
It definitely changes it, and look, December 23rd, as we record this, I mean, that was sort of the date everybody had circled for
right. The
Klay Thompson return,
yeah, but
that it would be tonight in this game against Memphis, maybe against Sacramento, maybe next
sure.
week against Denver. But all of that's off the table, and now we're looking at, all right, maybe the first week of January, but probably not. I mean,
right.
It's really feeling more like maybe that seven-game homestand January the 18th on until the end of the month. That's,
right.
that's the most likely scenario. So there's a lot of different things all happening at once.
Yeah, exactly.
And I think the Warriors thought maybe they were going to get a boost. they may not need it under more normal circumstances because of the opponents that they're playing. A lot of good opponents and some opponents that have been tough on the Warriors maybe a little bit in the past. But now they're having to go through it shorthanded, which I think that makes it in some ways more intriguing because they might take some losses that they're going to have to make up for down the road. But it also makes it tougher, I think, to evaluate just where this team is in the context of the Western Conference with Phoenix, who we've put as the primary competitor,
right,
and Memphis, who's been a thorn, and Utah, who still thinks they've got action, and Denver kind of on the periphery hoping they can get healthy like the Warriors do.
Yeah, I think there's a chance. I think right now we can all agree that the Warriors are a top two or three team in the West. If you have them above Utah, it's totally understandable. They have a better record. They've been more impressive than Utah. But I still think Utah's going to be there. So I'm looking at it as Phoenix, the Warriors, and Utah. But this stretch they're on right now, they could theoretically lose some games. And I don't want to go predicting records, but they could lose some games, and now all of a sudden they're third or fourth. And now Klay comes back. They're going to have to reprove that they can reach this level again. And,
well, I mean, they're down Wiggins and Poole.
Right. Second and third scores.
And we'll see if it bleeds into Christmas. It kind of looks like it's going to.
Right.
And maybe beyond, depending upon the COVID rules and the health and safety protocols. So, I mean, that right there could put them almost in line with the Jazz. I mean, we're looking at it right now, 25-6 Warriors. They got a 3.5 game lead on the Jazz. I mean, they can almost be flat-footed with the Jazz by right around New Year's.
Yeah, and you look at Phoenix. I would say this: Memphis and Phoenix. I don't know their specific numbers COVID-wise, but they're both pretty complete teams still right now. So the Warriors aren't gonna. It's not like, well, we're without Wiggins and Poole, but they're without Booker and Ayton. No. In fact, Booker just came back. So these things can change quickly, obviously, JD, but the next two games are going to be tough games for the Warriors.
Yeah, and it's...
And then here comes Denver.
And more leaning on Steph Curry, right?
Yeah.
And I think that's the other part of it, because Steve Kerr hinted at the fact that Curry's had a lot on his plate.
Right.
And that the Warriors have put a lot on his plate. We've sort of worked under the impression they've had everything kind of dialed with the new players that have come in, and maybe that's should lessen what Curry's needed to do. But Steve Kerr wasn't really going down that road. He was putting it at Curry really as the reason that all of these other players have been able to be so effective and taking on as much or even more maybe than he did even last year, and that possibly that was taking a toll physically, mentally, and leading to some of the statistical numbers that aren't what we're used to seeing from Curry.
Right, right. And I mean, I just look at a game like tonight against Memphis. Who's going to be their second leading scorer?
Have tonight? No idea.
None. I mean, if I had to put money on it right now, I'd probably say Kuminga, to be honest with
you.
And I think, you know, now when you start talking about the Warriors without Wiggins and Poole, and Wiggins is obviously starting to fit in better and better, and now you look at Memphis and Phoenix. So now these are two teams that I don't want to say know how to defend Curry, but they have a strategy.
Well,
that doesn't mean they're going to shut him down.
It's easier to do it when Wiggins and Poole aren't there.
That's exactly right. So these are two games coming up that I think Warrior fans got to be realistic about. And I know it's hard because they've been so impressive, but they win one of the next two, you got to take that at this point, don't you think?
Yeah, I mean, it's just looking at it between Memphis, who's won the last two games they played at Chase Center. They eliminated the Warriors back in May, and they came back against them and handed them their first home loss of the year back in late November. I mean, you look at Memphis has also asserted themselves a little bit just in the conference as, hey, we talk about Phoenix and the Warriors and Utah's right there as the third. Well, Memphis has become the fourth.
Right.
Because the Clippers are not really very good and the Lakers are a mess and Dallas can't figure it out and Doncic is out and Denver's waiting for guys to get healthy. Like, there's just there's a muck of really, I think, mediocrity. And the Grizzlies have been the one team that have sort of valued the season maybe a little bit more than some of those other teams. Now, that being said, they just lost to Oklahoma City at home with John Morant back.
Well, see, and that's and I'm going to spin that toward Klay Thompson, because I think people just think Klay's coming back, we will be better. And they probably will be better, but I don't think it's going to happen right away. How do you explain the fact that Memphis is playing okay? They're not. They were poor defensively. John Morant goes out, and they go on a winning streak. Now, how do you explain that? But that's kind of basketball. So just because you get guys back, and just because guys come back,
and then you get Morant back, and you lose to a team that you beat by 70.
Exactly. So, you know, it's like we could sit here all day and try to figure out why. We never will. But part of it's the other guys get paid too. And so, you know, that's why you never know. A game like tonight, you know, I would never say a team can never beat another team in basketball. But I do think Memphis is one of those teams that I look at as, they give an honest effort. Like, if I had to rank the teams of, what are the teams in the league that basically give you the best effort night in and night out? I think Memphis would be near the top. I put them in the top 5 or 10. That, you know, they don't play, and it doesn't mean they're going to play great, but they're going to give you an effort.
Well, and I think the other teams that are right there just off are Utah and Phoenix.
Right.
Oh, guess what?
Right.
That's why they've separated themselves in this sea of mediocrity.
And to me, it's why the Lakers haven't. And it's why Dallas hasn't.
And the Clippers. The
Clippers are another team like that. You can even whittle it down to teams like Sacramento. You know, Sacramento's a team that I think could play harder.
Definitely.
Or be more conscientious. So, frankly, with the Warriors, they have been conscientious this year. And part of it's because, you know, Curry's Curry. But I think most of it's because Payton, Toscano-Anderson, Otto Porter, Bielitsa, Iguodala have interjected themselves in here. You know, two of those guys on any given night are probably going to play well. And so then those are the guys who are going to play that night. But I do think I'd put the Warriors in that group too. Even if it's Andrew, like, I can't believe I'm going to say this, but like Andrew Wiggins, he's a pro. Comes to play every night. It's the thing you love about him is maybe the thing you hate about him.
Well, we saw 2 years ago, before the Warriors acquired Andrew Wiggins, when Durant had left and everybody was like, we saw firsthand the difference between having a guy like Andrew Wiggins and having the next tier down or two tiers down.
Absolutely.
It completely guts your team.
Right.
If you're going to start Glenn Robinson III and think you got a shot, you got no shot.
Well, to me, and you kind of brought this up. To me, Wiggins is there so you beat Orlando.
Yeah.
You don't stub your toe against the Kings.
Right.
You know, you don't get beat by the Pelicans when they're undermanned. But, you know,
and
exactly. Without Wiggins, then those games become like 50-50 games almost. So Wiggins definitely is, he's given the Warriors a level of consistency that's kind of perfect almost, because Curry's Curry, Draymond's going to always be Draymond, even though he's kind of going to be volatile within his, you know, within his effort. But Wiggins, you want to talk about a guy you know what to expect every night, it's pretty much him.
No, it really is. John Dickinson, Matt Steinmetz, our Warriors Weekly podcast for 95.7 The Game. Let's just dig into some of these teams, because I know you're going to be off, and so we're probably not going to do another one of these until maybe after the Warriors end up playing Memphis and Phoenix and Denver a couple of times and maybe even Utah. Let's just kind of get into the specific maybe matchups and just your thoughts on those teams. We've talked a little bit about Memphis, but let's just start with Memphis, because I know you dug into some numbers as far as the last couple of times that they've played. Like, is Memphis really a threat to the Warriors, Steiny?
Yeah, I think they are. I really do. And I'm not sure exactly why.
Could they beat him in a series?
I think so. But let me see the Warriors with Klay, and because 4 months from now is 4 months from now. But believe it or not, I would say I think it's possible. And one of the reasons I think it's possible is because they kind of have that ingredient. They have another point guard, and what I mean is a guy who goes up against Curry, who on any given night could win the matchup against Curry. Doesn't mean he's gonna. Probably won't most of the time, but he can, and he has the last couple games. I shouldn't say he won the matchup. He hung in there with the matchup with Curry. But I was telling a buddy of mine this. You know, Memphis is one of these teams that seems to have five guys who are the same. You know what I mean? Six four to six seven wing guys.
And they can make plays on defense.
Exactly. And they got, you know, they have a strategy to play against the Warriors for sure. And I think just because they've had some success recently, I don't think they fear the Warriors like some other teams.
It's strange because I think they got in the window, and this is probably one of the reasons why I'm still a little bit reluctant or need to see more to put Memphis as a legitimate threat. For me, like last when they knocked the Warriors out, that was a different team. Right. Like clearly that Warriors team was more vulnerable. They weren't as good. The Grizzlies were pretty even with the Warriors of last season. Right. Like they
were
in the same level. And Memphis got them at Chase in November when the Warriors were rolling and had won a bunch of games. But nobody really knew how great the Warriors were at that point. And I said November. It was actually late October. It was October the 28th, not November the 28th. And like they got the Warriors, I think, before we really knew how great the Warriors were going to become. Because it was, they went on the run right after that game. So like at that point the Warriors, yeah, they beat the Lakers, they beat the Clippers, they beat Sac, they kind of struggled in OKC but won.
Right.
And then they came home and lost to Memphis. And at that point, I was still inclined to these teams are pretty even. We don't know the Warriors are gonna run off 25-6. So I think the Grizzlies have almost used those dynamics to gain that confidence because but they also haven't played this version of the Warriors. Now, they're not going to play this version of the Warriors tonight, so maybe we're going to need to see even more down the line when they play again in Memphis. But they I think the timing of when they've played the Warriors has worked to their benefit.
Yeah, I just think they're one of these teams that kind of hit the ground running this year, even though I know they didn't get off to a great start. But there's certain teams where you look at them and you say, oh, they've been together now for a couple years. And this is one of those teams. And I know they made the Adams trade and lost Valanciunas in the past year or two. But
that helps you.
Yeah, absolutely. It does. And, of course, Jaren Jackson Jr. now looks to be healthy. So he's playing pretty well. I can't tell you I watch Memphis 20 times a year, but apparently they're saying Jaren Jackson Jr. is as good or better than he was before he got hurt.
Yeah, which, Dylan Brooks is a good player. He's got a little edge to him.
He does. And which, by the way, should be good news for Warrior fans as it relates to Wiseman, because Wiseman has the same injury, but we'll
talk
about
Jackson
that later. Yeah, Jaren Jackson had the same injury that Wiseman has now. So, there's just something about Memphis. They're a little like Phoenix, where it feels like they can throw a few guys at Steph Curry. And I look at a game like tonight, you're right. I mean, they can just sell out right now. And if somebody else, if Damian Lee's going to score 30.
It's like Toronto in the finals, really.
Yeah.
Like, I mean, it's Curry and Draymond and who else?
Yeah, exactly.
And they don't even have they're not going to have Damian Lee, who helped them win the Sacramento game.
That's right, I forgot.
Iguodala making plays in the Sacramento game.
Let me ask you this. This knee for Iguodala.
It's a concern.
Is it?
Yeah, because Look, he played, 10, 11 games?
Right.
And then it pops up, and then he's basically got to miss a month plus, and he's able to get it right, but now he can play 3 or 4 games.
Right.
And he's got it. So he could play 11, and it cost him a month.
Right.
And then he could play 3 or 4, and now it's going to cost him time. It just seems like it's taken less and less for it to become a problem.
No, I hear you. It's just, I always give Iguodala kind of the benefit of the doubt. Like, I almost feel like he makes his own schedule.
Yeah.
But I think you're right in this case.
But I don't think they, Like, I think
like Iguodala would want to play Christmas Day, I gotta believe.
No doubt. And I think they, I think the Warriors, I wonder if they maybe feel like they got a little bit fooled, is probably not the right word, but I'm going to use that word, into the way he started.
Yeah.
Thinking he, you know what? Hey, we need him out there. We're going to keep putting him out there. And we're going to, and they gave him a game or two off here. I think they gave maybe two games off. But I guess what I'm getting at is, how many games he played? 15 to
probably,
this point, roughly, out of 31?
Sure.
Well, I think if you knew it was going to be 15, would you have
spread him out more?
You would have maybe spread it out and managed it with him.
Yeah.
But spread it out to where now you don't have this issue where it's like, oh my God, if he plays three or four games in a row, he's going to need to take a couple weeks off. Like, that's a big time concern.
Yeah, no, I agree with you. And I also think, and that's one of the things when we talk about Clay and just automatically assuming the Warriors are going to get better, you know, they may not have Iguodala. And when the Warriors are at their best, and you look at, okay, what are the games they played great this year in? Or what do you see in the Warriors that makes you think, huh, they could win it all right now? Well, Iguodala's a part of that. Like, he's a big part of it. If he vanishes tomorrow, that is a big hit on their title contention chances.
Agree.
It really is. Because they need Iguodala to give them good minutes in important games. And if he can't, they miss him.
It already feels like this is getting to the point where he's probably going to have to miss as much time as he already missed again.
Wow.
And look, we don't know that.
Sure.
But it feels like that's what it is. And then, okay, we're at maybe the end of January, let's say. And it almost, at that point, they're going to have to come up with and spend the next month coming up with, all right, this is the plan. He's going to play maybe two games and chill. He's going to play but the plan is going to be, how do we get him to a point, speaking from the Warriors' perspective, how do they get him to the point where he can get through a two-month playoff with the days off and everything and be able to still give them what they need, because that's more important than any of these regular season get, any of them.
Well, and the other thing about Iguodala is, you know, when the Warriors signed him this year and brought him back, one of two things was said immediately. He's a great mentor. He's going to be a great mentor to the young guys. But the reality, and I'm not diminishing that at all. He is, and I'm sure he continues to be. But the reality is, when he stepped on the floor for the Warriors in those games early in the year, he helped them look like a championship-level team.
Definitely.
And so if he can't play consistently, or he's not really going to be that player, that's a hit. That's a hit. And it's almost more of a hit than had you just brought him in and said, you know, he's just going to be Udonis Haslam. He's not going to play very much, but he's going to be a coach out there. He's going to be our 13th or 4th. No, no. He was their sixth man again, seventh man. They looked good. And we all know that when he was a sixth or seventh man during the championship run, he was one of the five most important players on the team.
Right. And he gives them another option against some of the wing players that they're going to see that they can help slow. You know,
like,
it gives you another Durant option if you end up facing him. It gives you a Giannis option in certain situations.
How about
Middleton,
let me put you on the spot. Can the Warriors win a title without Iguodala?
I'd probably say not quite.
I would tend to
agree. If you're just telling
me
he's out and can't play at all,
right?
Like, for an entire playoff, I would say I would probably lean no.
And whether you say no or maybe or yes, the answer is still the same. It hurts. It hurts.
I would need to see what they're going to do to overcome. Like, who's going to play those minutes and how? Because they haven't really had to come up with a road. And how does Clay affect that? Does Clay make Damian Lee more useful in that role? Does Kuminga all of a sudden become
part of that? If they don't have Iguodala and
Clay. Is it
Clay,
JTA?
Right.
You know?
I mean, if they don't have Iguodala and Clay Thompson is 80% of himself, then they're not going deep, I don't think. And I know people throw around percentages for Clay, And 80% of Clay is still better. No, it's not. I mean, 80% of Clay is 80% of Clay, which means he's not going to be the player right away that we know him to be.
And look, I don't think the league has as many maybe good teams or great teams as it did a couple years ago, but look how tight it was when the Warriors won championships and they had Durant and they had full Clay and they had full Steph, and it was still, you know, Houston almost got him a couple of times. And you know, before Durant came, Oklahoma City had him down, and it, you know, Cleveland ended up getting him because one little thing maybe went awry.
Yeah.
And that opened the door.
Right.
So I think they won it, but if you watched them win it, you could see where maybe there would have been trouble. And there was trouble in instances where they didn't have everything totally buttoned up. Like, that became the reason. Well, Steph was banged up. Like, think of all the things fans said. Well, Steph was banged up. Well, Draymond didn't play in this game or that game. Well, Durant was out. You know, Clay got hurt. Like, all of these things are less than your optimum. And for a lot of teams, you have to be at your optimum if you're going to win a title. I mean, the Warriors know that better than anybody.
Exactly. So when I think of the Warriors with Durant, I think of them like you think of them too, JD. Not that they were, were they a powerhouse? Of course they were a powerhouse. But my point is like Houston did almost get them. I mean, Houston was right there with them. Houston actually, over a 2 to 2.5 year period, had a better record than the Warriors, against the Warriors. They just couldn't beat them in a series.
Well, and we revise it sometimes. I think, and fans do this, but it's like, well, Houston, well, the Warriors, at the moment in which the Warriors win every series against Houston, it becomes the Warriors owned Houston.
Exactly.
And the reality is, I mean, yes, they won, but they didn't own them.
Exactly.
It's kind of like, going way back in the day when, the Lakers played the Kings a few years in a row in the playoffs.
Sure.
Lakers won every series.
Right.
They didn't own the Kings.
Yeah, no, I
you know what I mean? It was like that.
That's kind of a fan.
Yeah.
Take.
And it's like, oh, let's laugh at James Harden now, and let's laugh at Chris Paul now. But it wasn't, if you watch those series,
absolutely
enjoy it if you're a fan, but
it wasn't
that way.
So I look at it as, then Durant left, and a lot of Warrior fans are like, well, we won without Durant. Okay, so I look at it like, well, wait a minute. You struggled to beat Houston. Houston was right there with you. Now you lose Durant. And you bring back Wiggins, well, you're not as good. But Houston's not Houston anymore. And
Utah's not Houston anymore.
Right, exactly. There isn't another Houston. So,
Phoenix isn't even quite what Houston
was. I admit, I was kind of looking at it a little wrong. And maybe this is why I underestimated the Warriors, because I was always putting them against their two championship teams with Durant. Well, okay, they're not those two championship teams, but they're still... With Wiggins, he bumps them up a little, and now they're in the mix. So that's where I've kind of said, the Warriors are probably better than I thought they were going to be, just because I assumed that kind of the West would always be the West. And the reality is, it's a little down.
Final couple of minutes here. I want to get into Phoenix, Denver, and Utah quickly. Denver we can kind of throw out.
Okay.
In a way, because Denver's really about Jokic,
right?
Like, how does Jokic play against the Warriors? This version of the Warriors, they're not going to have Wiseman. They're going to play him a couple of times. What happens with Murray? They're not where they need to be. Like, they're no threat right now.
Right. Exactly.
They might be a threat later, but let's just Denver first quickly. I mean, it's all about Jokic, right? It's just, can he punish the Warriors in ways that make you concerned down the line if they play each other?
No. Not with this current team. I mean, I've always...
Go small, run him off?
Well, he's going to play.
Jokic
can play against anybody.
Yeah, he's going to play, but make him ineffective.
Yes, or make him a volume guy, or turn him over just a little more than
he does. Because they're going to dump it to him still, and...
I mean, they just don't have enough around him.
They run everything through him.
Yeah, they just don't have enough around him. And they might not have enough around him all season.
I kind of think they don't.
I kind of think that's what they're looking at, too.
So... Phoenix would be the other team that the Warriors are going to play again. And the context, I think, for Phoenix is, all right, the Suns beat them, played a hell of a game against them. We don't know who's going to be in and who's going to be out. That obviously changes things. If the Warriors don't have Wiggins and Poole, then forget. I mean, there's really almost no takeaway. All right, we'll see you in March whenever they play again.
Right.
But let's say maybe they do get a couple of guys. Like, what if both teams were whole, maybe sans Clay and Wiseman, I'd really be interested to see, all right, who gets the better of the third matchup? Because the Warriors did some things better in the second game than the first. Phoenix did some things right in both games that would make you think, okay, they're legit. Like, what would you be looking for from the third Phoenix game? No Clay, no Wiseman, but if everybody else was
not much.
Playing.
Honestly, not much. And I think that's what we're going to have to realize is...
No juice?
No juice on Christmas, and we may not see these two teams at their best until the playoffs if they meet. And then by that point, it'll kind of be new because, well, we played them three times without Wiseman. And
it'd be like, yeah, they really only played twice,
and we didn't
and
have
they were in November.
And we didn't have Booker for that loss. And, you know, I think it's going to go that way.
Yeah.
Utah, I need to see Utah against the Warriors because I think Utah's pretty good.
Well,
The
Warriors had some success against them last year in San Francisco. They got handled in Salt Lake City.
Right.
The game on New Year's is going to be in Salt Lake City. I mean, that's kind of funny. The Warriors get to spend New Year's in
it's an underrated
New Year's
city,
in Salt
JD.
Lake City.
I kind of like Salt Lake City.
I do too. I haven't been there a long time, but I do too. And I want to see this version. You know, Gobert, the Warriors just always render Gobert, and they always draw him out and then shoot over him, and I just throw it behind him.
And maybe this is trying to look for something that might not be there, but can Gobert do a better job when he's matched up with Curry? It feels like Curry can just get his shot off, but if Curry's just slowing down a little and Gobert can he do what Ayton did, essentially?
And you'd think he should be able to, but he hasn't been able to. And so I thought Utah would have been a problem for the Warriors last year in a series. They were the one. You know, the Warriors were down. I think Utah would have beat them in a series last year. This version of the Warriors, Utah maybe not quite as good. Like, I think you and I disagree a little bit as we wrap it up. Like, I think you think Utah's maybe got a little bit more threat potential.
I do.
Than I do. I think they could give them a series, but I'm not sure the Warriors would lose to Utah in a series unless the Warriors really had some things going wrong for them, i.e. players out.
Quick final thought is, you know, the Warriors may lose some games in the next week or two, but it's going to be hard to incorporate that into some kind of big picture assessment.
All right, for Matt Steinmetz, I'm John Dickinson. Happy holidays, Merry Christmas, Happy New Year to everybody. We'll talk to you again soon here for 95.7 The Game.
Oh, 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 O'Reilly.
Protect your vehicle's engine with a full synthetic oil change and save with Mobil 1 at O'Reilly Auto Parts. Purchase 5 quarts of Mobil 1 full synthetic motor oil and receive a $10 O'Reilly gift card after rebate. See store for details. With your Mobil 1 purchase, you'll also receive 2x points during Old Rewards Bonus Points Month at O'Reilly Auto Parts.
Oh, 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 O'Reilly Auto Parts.
In the fast-paced world of attacking, speed is everything. And that's where the Furon 7 Plus shines. Engineered for accuracy and precision at a rapid pace, it's your secret weapon on the pitch. Experience overall comfort and precise striking, even in the game's fastest moments. The nylon outsole, with its V-shaped stud configuration, is designed for firm ground, giving you the grip you need to outmaneuver your opponents. Step up your attacking game and learn more and purchase the Furon at NewBalance.com.
It's a good thing baseballs already have stitches, because the way these ball players are hitting them, yeah, they'd need stitches if they didn't already have them. So the next time you're watching a poor little baseball smacked off the wall in center, keep that little fella in your thoughts. It's hard to be a baseball right now. Baseball is something else. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.